come as the New York Times reports...
Blog Talk Radio.
...lagging poll numbers, along with Americans' concerns over inflation and rising gas prices.
There's a new gun law in Ohio. Jack Crumley has more.
Legal gun owners in Ohio can now carry a concealed handgun most places without a permit. Under the now in effect law, weapon holders cannot bring guns into schools, government buildings, or airports, and business owners are allowed to ban firearms in their establishments. That includes bars. The law also says concealed weapon holders must tell police they have a gun if the officer asks.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
In the wee hours of the night, when everyone else is fast asleep, you're the one on third shift, burning the midnight oil. When a part fails and everything comes to a grinding halt, regardless of what the clock on the wall says, you leap into action. Grainger is with you and all the ones who get it done. With 24/7 customer support by phone or click to chat. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly showers on and off throughout the day today, cloudy skies, and we'll mix in some partly sunny skies as well. High temperatures around 61, 62 degrees. Tonight, clouds and rain will still hang around. Low temperatures back down to about 49. For Tuesday, clouds with a 40% chance of showers to start the day out, moving to partly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures around 63. Mostly cloudy skies for Tuesday night. Lows back down to about 50. Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies. A few sun breaks yet again. High temperatures a little warmer, around 67.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. I get to do this fabulous show with Carrie. You know, I've thought about this today, but let me just get everybody a little bit in sync with what we're talking about today, because once you hear about what we're talking about, it's really interesting. Because this is about the fourth conversation I've had on this topic, but never quite like this. So if you know who Carrie Knutson is, then one of the things you know is you know that she's a speaker, she's a school counselor, storyteller, mother, she does rap, so we haven't heard that yet. But she's somebody that is an expert in the field of emotional intelligence. So today's show especially talks to that. But there's something about today's show. You know, when I think about who we are and what we've gone through, there's so many ups and downs, starts, endings, and yet people are now refiguring or reconfiguring their lives. And that's really what I'm seeing. I'm seeing it with all of our hosts. You know, we've had more requests to change things, start things, stop things, move things, all of the above. And the question really is, what happens when we get to that place? As a matter of fact, I'm doing the same thing. I mean, I'm going through literally having to make some decisions that I didn't think I was going to make. But today, she's going to take us on a ride. And that beautiful ride of life is about the art of a good goodbye. Now, I can't even begin to tell you how important this is. From somebody that didn't do this really well most of my life. And thank goodness I have been able to repair the most precious relationship I have in my life with my best friend. Because I don't know where I would be today or how I would be today if somehow a little bit of what my buddy Carrie is talking about today, the host of a fantastic show, keynote speaker, one person, amazing act, storyteller, script writer, you name it. But why this today? Carrie, it's so great. Thank you. This is like so pivotal.
Well, thanks for the warm-up, Pat, and thank you for addressing. I do think the reason I want to talk today about the art of the good goodbye is because I feel like all of us at some point have to say goodbye to something, a person, a situation, who we are, in order to get where we want to be. And yet saying goodbye is such an emotional process for most of us, or for those of us it's not emotional. Some of us are in denial about the emotions and we just like kind of soldier on, just go on, you know. And so I want to talk about the idea of how can we say goodbye in a way that helps us have it be a good goodbye. And again, sometimes in life goodbyes are unexpected, but sometimes they're planned. And so the idea behind this topic is it's part of transitioning through our lives. If you think about it, we've had to say goodbye to so many things over the course of our lives. And we know that that process will still continue. And it's not necessarily bad when we say goodbye, because it opens us up, you know, sometimes it's for new opportunities. Sometimes it is sad when relationships end or things end or loved ones die or pets die. Like those kind of endings and goodbyes can be very difficult. And so I wanted to address that today, the art of the good goodbye. How can we talk about it, think about it, process it so that when it comes our turn to say goodbye, we have some skills that we can consciously bring into play that will help us to make those transitions smoother.
And so, I mean, I want to talk about how we got here for a minute. And the reason I want to talk about how we got here for a minute is because I'm really talking about the changes that you and I and others are making. I'm in the middle of a change that I never thought I would be making, and I'm getting ready to make that change in about 3 days. And it's a really long-term one, having to do with my career and my profession. And it's agonizing to get there. And what I love about what we're talking about today is there are goodbyes that are goodbyes. Now, I want to say this to everybody. You could go through divorce. You could go through the death of someone. We just went through this in our family. But how about those ones that you choose?
Mm-hmm.
How about the ones, see, because this is really, this is where the rubber meets the road, everybody. I just want to tell you right here. How about the ones we have to make a decision about, right, that is not somebody else is doing to us? But we have to look at the whole scope of things. You know why I bring this up? Because that's what you're talking about today.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Go ahead.
Nobody else going to be responsible for this, right?
Right. Well, and sometimes the choices we have to make to change, we hem and haw so much that we delay what could be in our futures because we're stuck in that, like the idea of saying goodbye, the risks of it, the change that will happen. And even some of us are very uncomfortable in our current situations. We like, we'll choose to stay in the discomfort because it's something we know rather than the unknown of something we don't, even though the unknown could possibly be a lot better. But that's the thing. When we choose change and choose transition, there's always an element of saying goodbye. And if we don't address that, I think that makes the change and the transition even more difficult. And whether it be a small change or a big change, it doesn't really matter the depth of it. I think for you, if I told you some changes I was going through, you might be, oh, that's not a big deal. And for other things, you're like, that's huge. But it's the person. Some changes are small, things are huge, you know, to people. And other things, we make transitions fairly easily. But the point is, when we choose change, we're also choosing loss because we're leaving something. And again, addressing that, that's what I really want to talk about today. How do we address that loss in intentional ways that will help us make the change and say the goodbye we need to make so we can open ourselves up to what's next? And a lot of times I liken it to this. You cannot hold two things at the same time. If I were holding this rope over here and this rope over here, at some point we get so stretched out we decide one thing you just have to let go.
Yeah.
And how do you do it with grace? How do you make the decision intentionally? And how do you let yourself have the opportunity to grieve the loss, even if you're still excited about the change?
Yeah.
that's coming. So those are all the things I want to discuss today.
And let's talk about them. One of the things I just want to say, and then let's get right at it because this is important. You know, there's a ripple effect of this. And the first part is getting to the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard sometimes. I know the decision that I'm about to make, it's one that I've agonized over, but how do you know when it's time?
Wow. What would you say to yourself in that moment, Dr. Pat? How do you know when it's time?
I have a number of different clues I get. It's like a mystery.
Oh.
When I think about anything more than three times, that's my signal.
Mm.
So when I have that three-time thought turns into worry. See, I don't want to go to the worry place, so we need to talk about that too. But when I get something three times, then what stops me from making it? Now, you and I are going to talk about this, and I hope you talk about it today. You can make a decision three months prior and time out when you're actually going to implement it. But your decision to do it is perfectly clear. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean just because you put all the ducks in a row that you're not going to have an emotional response, not during or after or right beginning.
Yes.
So take us through the goodbye. And that is super important at many levels, isn't it?
Yes, and I love that you take us through the goodbye because you brought up something so important. You may have emotions at any stage in the transition, the deciding, the doing, afterwards, years later, like when we look back. That's what I love though about the human, like animal, I guess, is that we're not machines. We are human. So our emotions are on their own timeline and each of us is so individual. And if we can learn to honor that, like for you, one thing you know about yourself, your self-knowledge bank is what I call it, is that you think about something three times and it's an indicator. You know, for me, for my self-knowledge bank, sometimes when I think about my feelings of just not, you know, when something kind of, it just like something's not right anymore. Something doesn't feel, and then listening to that, instead of pushing that away or justifying it, just say, okay, I'm gonna open up some space to listen to that voice that says, something's just not quite right. Right? Like, what is it? Or if my fear's speaking louder than my judgment, sometimes I'm like, okay, fear, what do you have to say? So then I can like address it. But I noticed that just kind of that sense of myself, something's not right. And I kind of carry that with me for a while. But then I think when you think about taking you through the art of the good goodbye, the idea is like first listening to yourself, knowing yourself enough to know why you're making the change, what needs to happen, or the trust in yourself. Because a lot of times that happens when we get an inkling of we need to detach from something. What we tend to do is discount our inner voice at the expense of society's voice, our family's voice, the should do voice, the ought to do voice, the what if you have regrets voice. And that voice gets so loud that you can't really listen to your own. So the first thing I would say is really getting some time and space to listen to your own voice and giving it enough what I call street cred. Like you know, and a lot of times we look outside ourselves for the answers and really we know what's right for us. But a lot of times, again, we like read this book, see this coach, do this class, ask these people. And I do think it's helpful to get feedback. But sometimes what the feedback does is scare us into complacency, I guess is what I'd say. Being complicit.
Yes.
When the fear comes up because if you say something like, hey, I'm thinking about switching my career, and someone might good-heartedly say, have you thought about your retirement? You've been there a while. Don't you want to write it out? Isn't it safe? Like, and they're well-meaning, but then that voice is so much bigger than their own voice that says, I think it's time for a change. I'm ready to grow in new ways. Something's not quite right anymore. I'm not feeling fulfilled in the way I want. Like, see how those, that's to me, like, what I like to think about it is, you know, when you plant something, you don't stand over it and be like, grow, hurry up, come on. We watch it and it unfurls in its own way and it needs some sun and some water and some time. And what happens, I feel like, is as that little seedling comes up, the voices of fear, overwhelm, or like don't make change come in. And it's essentially like stomping on the seedling. The seedling doesn't have enough energy or oomph to tolerate the stomping. And then we go back to being complacent or not making the change. Or our self-doubt gets so high, like, what was I thinking? How could I possibly? So again, even if we're uncomfortable, we choose to stay in that discomfort because it's known versus the unknown. So the first part of the good goodbye is getting clear on using your conscious mind to say, I'm going to cultivate some space for my voice to speak. I'm going to listen to what's going on with me. I'm going to solicit feedback if I need to, but I'm going to filter it. And I'm going to protect the seedling of my change, of my idea, of my growth, of whatever it is. I'm going to protect that seedling because I know some things take time and protection. I'm also going to give myself the street cred to know I know what's right for me. And I believe in myself and I trust myself.
Right.
And that all those things are the beginning of the journey when you're about to, you know, make the change or let something go. And that's one of the most important things that I think we skip over when we're thinking about changing, transitioning, or saying goodbye. We want the outcome, but we don't want the work that it's going to take to get there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting we're talking about this because I don't think there are any mistakes when you and I get together on a topic. And I was really talking this weekend with Linda, and I've come to the revelation, the same as you. You and I have come to the same place. And we'll tell people, I hope we'll tell people exactly what you're talking about today, about this decision. Because my friend said to me, you've got to write an article, Pat. You're the only one that's really addressing this. And I said, no, I cannot be the only. What are you even talking about? And he said, I heard you the other day on the show talk about what people are calling the great resignation, but you called it the great resurrection. I said, oh, yes. And he said, well, why aren't you writing about that? There's a reason to this. When somebody says, why aren't you speaking more, Carrie? Why aren't you blah, blah, blah more? Why aren't you writing your book? Why aren't you, what about your one-woman show? Hello, why aren't you doing, what? Like, how many times people have said like that to you, right?
Oh, yes.
So my buddy is like, why aren't you writing about it, Pat? Why don't you tell people what you mean? It's not the great resurrection. It's the great resurrection. People are rising up. You know, they've looked at their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fired up. They're rejuvenated, and yet at the same time, they're withdrawing. There's never been greater paradoxes, I think, than where we're living. Aren't you talking about that great paradox right now?
Yes, hey. Definitely. That's why this topic really came up, because I feel like it's a lot of people are dealing with it. I'm dealing with it on a personal level. And when I look at my life, how things are set up, it's part of me wanted to talk about it, because I always say, personally, I talk about the things I need to learn. I train on the things I'm interested in training on. I'm always seeking out that bit of learning for myself. And I think a lot of why my things are timely is because I'm going through them at the same time everyone else is. And I do think it's important, if there could be another voice in the mix that said, like you're saying, instead of the great resignation, the great resurrection, or the idea of like, what about hope and change? What about possibility and change? And maybe are people waking up to that idea of like, I guess that's what I want to say. We can do things that we're proud of and have done for a long time, and then there can be an end point to that. Or we can say, yeah, I thought I wanted this, and now I want this.
Yeah.
Or I used to define a specific thing, and now I don't. Or I'm using my lifelong learner skills because I need to do other things to keep me enriched or excited. Or I have new things to share with this world, and I can't do it in my old position. Like, whatever it might be for you, I think those are great things to think about as you make the changes you need to make, as you say goodbye to some things, to say hello to new things.
Yep.
Part of that is, again, the belief in yourself. And I think the idea of, what do you feel when you think about making the change in the long term? Like, do you feel hopeful? Do you feel relieved? Do you feel excited? Do you feel peaceful? Do you feel sad at what was gone, but do you feel that kind of excitement for what could be new? Like, could you hold some complex feelings around those things? And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, like, if I was on the other side of this change, what would I feel? And for
Are you going to talk about that now?
Yes, I would love to talk about that.
Well, the reason I'm bringing it up is because, yes, you're talking about the art of the good goodbye. It is such an important thing. You know, I got the answer from my friend, and, you know, I didn't know we were doing the show on this topic till I looked at it later last week. And so I had this little conversation. So this was the third time somebody close to me. Now, there are a lot of people say things, but you know when that three-time thing I told you about?
Yeah.
That has to be from, like, people that are in my heart.
Yeah.
Right? Because people say things to me all the time. But when you get me in my heart and you say something like, the answer is because there aren't enough hours in the day. If I continue on the structure that I have now, and it's not going to get any less busy because we're doing great things here. So what do I need to change? Did you ask yourself that? Did you say, what do I need to change? Because if we get there, change has a loss and a gain. I don't care who you are. Whatever you're doing, you can debate this. But, Carrie, you said it first. If you're holding two things here, you cannot hold gain and loss. Like, right? Like, gain. Oh, well, what? Those are the two things you can hold simultaneously together. I think they're one of the few.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost where when you bring something in, is there something else that changes? Even if it's your attitude. But you're talking about making a decision that's going to change the way you wake up every day and do things, aren't you?
Yes, and I'm talking about it could be something small or something big. And when we think about the art of the good goodbye, it could be a physical thing. Like I'm saying goodbye to some stuff, right? I'm cleaning out things and taking it to Goodwill, right? I'm cleaning up stuff. It could be to, let's say you need to move from an apartment and you got a house. And it's exciting, but you're saying goodbye to that who you were in that apartment, and you're saying hello to homeownership, which can be very frightening too, right? But you're in order to change, you're choosing to do that. Or let's say you're in an unhappy marriage, and you're finally feeling like, you know what, I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm going to change who I am and how I show up, and I'm going to say goodbye to this so I can say hello to something else. Or even personally, our habits and behaviors, like, when I think about us as people, like, how do I want to take care of myself? How do I want to feel every day? Is it stressed out and overwhelmed and running around? Like, do I need to make some changes personally? Do I need to let go of some of these belief systems around what makes me, like, really, this is a struggle for me, but what makes me effective? Like, is it how many things I check off my to-do list? Is it how busy I am? Is my worth connected to my work and how much I do, my performative nature? So even some of those, like, I want to say goodbye to that belief system.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't actually serve me. So you can see it could be physical, mental, emotional. Like, I think with the emotional piece, too, saying goodbye, sometimes we like to, well, this is, again, speaking for me. It's funny that I married Joe because we are on opposite ends of the spectrum. I process everything. I process the minutiae of when the sun rises, or like an interaction with somebody, or if I got coffee or chai from someone, I'll be like, that interaction, I'll think about it. Like, I'll process to death, right? And Joe's more like, just moves on to the next thing. And sometimes I'll be like, tell me how you're feeling. Like, how did that affect you? Like, I want to know more. And he's like, Carrie, I have a few basic emotions. Either I'm tired or I'm hungry. I want to make out. Or I'm just here. He's like, I'm just.
I love him.
And so when we think about,
I know who now I need to call.
Yes.
Like, I know this is the guy that I. This is the person that I need to, like, pick up the phone and have a call. But you know that's true, because don't you bring out the best in each other, but also don't you bring out a new level of awareness and wisdom?
Yes. Because sometimes speaking of the emotion piece, sometimes I get stuck in my process. I feel like there's something called a process addiction you can have where you just keep processing. And I feel like if I don't think about it, I can stay in process mode as a way to keep from taking action. And
oh,
I think,
my God.
Like, no,
did you call me out?
I did.
You
and
just
everybody
called me out.
Listening. And everybody listening. Right. But that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And then someone like Joe, who just kind of moves on to the next thing and then later has really big feelings about it but hasn't processed it. So see how you can be on both sides? So
yeah.
The idea is, and the physical things are easier to see when you're transitioning physically, like I'm saying goodbye to this and moving, or I'm leaving, getting rid of these things. But relationships, emotions, personal changes, those are goodbyes that we can't see as much or take a lot of time in the buildup. And you might see the person who, let's say, gets the divorce and moves, but you don't see all of the emotional things that went along with doing that. Getting the process of divorce is a process. So that's what I think. When you think, you can see the physical parts of goodbyes, but the emotional and mental parts, you can't. And most of us, again, Dr. Pat, you and I, there's a quote I love that says, you're very unique, but you're not that special. Most of us are stuck in the process point so much that we almost miss our opportunities for change, or we go there kicking and screaming, even when it's good, right? And that's the thing I want to address, too. If you said, I'm calling you out, I'm calling me out and everyone else, too, because we, lots of us live in that space. Mm-hmm. And so part of the art of the good goodbye is without judgment, acknowledging where you are and saying, hey, I'm really been processing this for a while, so I'm emotional, and can I keep doing this? And at some point, you consciously make a decision of when your processing is done and you're ready to take tangible action.
Mm.
And you've summoned up your courage and you've done your processing, but you give yourself a time to stop, or you say it's enough because it's not pushing me forward. It's not helping me make the decision. And I'm going to intentionally say, I've done enough of the processing, and now I'm ready to take tangible action, which may mean my thought is going to change, maybe something physically that I do, maybe a conversation that I have. Maybe it's when you sign your letter of resignation and hit the send button or whatever you're going to do with that. It's the tangible part, the action that you have to take once the processing is done. And that, for most of it, that's where a lot of us get stuck.
Okay. We're going to go to break. I cannot explain how absolutely significant this is. But, you know, as always, every show we do, every conversation we have, you are so right on target. And even though we're going to talk a little bit about something very specific, I hope you're going to be able to share. Maybe you can't. But I'm willing to do that, too, because the realization of something and then having help to do it. See, not only are you talking about what your experience is, but you are helping others. And right now, I can't find the words to express how many people I am speaking with now that I don't have the time to help on an official coaching level that so need your help with this. There's so many layers to it, and I have not spoken with a single person in at least 3 months that hasn't called me about this, but they left out the good goodbye. When we come back, you're going to walk us through this journey. And right, Carrie, even if the thing we're getting ready to do is, like, super cool, that doesn't mean you're not going to take us through loss, grief, managing change, transitions, and why we can do it with not just a good goodbye, but how about a great goodbye? Carrie Knudsen. Carrie, before we hop off, how do we find out more about you? Because when we come back, you're going to be talking about, like, stuff like on your website that you're, like, actually really going to ramp up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my role model. How do we connect with you?
So you find me at knutsonspeaks.com. It's K-N-U-T-S-O-N speaks.com. I'm on social media under that. And what you'll find on my website is opportunities for give presentations all over the country, and virtually and in person. And I do coaching for people who want to improve their public speaking, but also want to get into their emotional intelligence, really learn how to thrive, learn how to show up big. And I have a one-woman show that is coming back in the fall. And so I do a performance on that. And so I offer a lot of things along with coaching, training, presenting, and this podcast, that my message is always, how can I help people use applied psychology to make their lives better? That is the point. Making, doing things that are tangible and giving you ideas that can help you live a better life through psychology.
And one of the things that I want to say is, the realm of our pop culture, movies, and especially music, takes this topic on. I grew up with country western music, and my mama was from the deep south, and I'm talking Merle Haggard, and, you know, I'm just talking people that many country folks don't even think about. And I remember saying to my mom, as she was teaching us how to jitterbug and dance and country this and that, I said, I like Elvis. This music is so sad. I don't really know why people go through such heartbreaking things as in these songs. Can't we just listen to a little music? And what do you think my mama puts on? Heartbreak Hotel. Let's take a short break, everybody. Let's take a short break. When we come back, Carrie's going to take us through the whole thing. But this is personal, and I know it's personal to you. We'll be right back, everyone.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling, is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
What could you achieve if you knew someone was going to ask about your progress every week? Accountability matters. Small corrections and check-ins with your goals can lead to big results in your business without you feeling overwhelmed. Success Magnified owner Mary Gall provides entrepreneurs a system of goal setting and accountability to create clarity about where you are now, your future direction, and the most effective way to get there. Book your free call at successmagnified.com today.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabelz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Everyday living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Benny, one a little bit more, just a little. interviewed her, Juice Newton. We got to do a whole nother show on that. But this is related to today.
Let's do a show on music and emotions.
Let's do a show on music. That song is by Juice Newton. She also, by the way, has one of the greatest love songs I've ever heard. And one of the most beautiful songs that was written by her longtime friend of 30 years. And, you know, when you think of those opposites, you get the experience, Carrie, for what you're talking about today. Okay, you're going to take us on a journey. This is all you now. So before we go, can you just tell folks how they can connect with you, how they can work with you, how you're going to be able to help them come out really bright and shiny? And it doesn't matter what they've been through for 3 years. How can people work with you?
Yes, you can go to KnutsonSpeaks.com and go to contact me and tell me what's going on. And all my work, really, whether it's presentations, coaching, doing small group work, doing virtual work, which was interesting from the pandemic. I never did virtual coaching or virtual small groups before, and now I have thriving groups that we meet all over the country. That's so exciting, you know, the possibilities that have happened due to the pandemic and going online that I'm keeping. And so that's how, and I do all my things are very customized to the person and what they need. And so people just reach out, and then I figure out if I can do it or not, and then we work together.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Now, you're not talking about this because you didn't really think of anything else to talk about. You're actually going through this. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, definitely. I chose this topic specifically because after 18 years as a school counselor, I decided at the end of in May to leave my job. And it was such an intense decision for me to decide to leave the school where I had been. And I'd been part-time there for 18 years. And I had been Miss K. My persona was Miss K, the school counselor. I have seen basically, you know, so many kids pass through that are now married, have gone to college, you know, like after 18 years. I always remark, like, how come I haven't changed at all? And they have, you know, like I'm still youthful after 18 years. But it was really a hard, it was a long time to make this decision. It was a long time in the making. And it started with that feeling of like, am I doing what I need to do now in my life? And have I come to the end of some of my efficacy? And what I struggled with a lot was saying, can I be proud of what I did for those 18 years? And say I'm ready for something new. Because when I started to think about the change and talk to some people would be like, you know, is there something wrong there? Is it bad? And I'm like, no, my God, I love my school. I love everything, the administrative team, the teachers, the parents, the kids. Like, it's the whole package. And that made me think about it. It doesn't have to be something wrong for you to want to make a change. It can be about you. And so, like, filtering those kind of questions, like, why? What I realized is I had to get right with myself and understand my reasons for wanting to leave so then I could manage everything else. And it took me a while to figure out, okay, my why is that I'm ready for the next thing. And I also cannot do being a part-time therapist and being a part-time speaker, trainer, consultant, and do all this work and have a lifestyle where I'm not just totally exhausted. And one of the things I had to admit myself is I'm tired physically and emotionally of the running around. Like, I just don't know how much longer I can do it. And I realized, like, no one's going to give me an award, either monetarily or even kind of an affirmation. Like, good job for just running yourself ragged. We're so glad. We're proud of you. Here's, like, $1 million or just even a ribbon would be nice, right? And I thought to myself, not one person, I'm not going to get that because this is not how it works. So what am I doing this for? And a lot of it is I had to explore my own ego, like in terms of like me doing and being and having all these jobs and doing, like, does that busyness connect with my worthiness? And what would it mean to me to stop one of those things? So again, this was a big process for me to think about. And then also the voices on the outside is like, it's a steady job. It's a paycheck. You have retirement, you have this, like, and really thinking about that versus my inside voice is saying, you've done a lot and you're proud of it and you're ready for the next step and you can do more of what you want to do when you can have your own business and speak. I can speak and train and travel and coach and do my show and maybe I'll have time now to write my book or to do those things. You know, when people say, why don't you have a book yet? I'm like, I don't have my time and my energy is spent just keeping these balls in the air. so in my heart, I'm like, what would it be like to have some time to be creative, to explore those things I've wanted to do but legitimately just don't have time for? And also, what would it be like to just leave something, not because it's bad, but because you're ready? And so that took me a while to figure out. And then when I did, I came to this place of thinking, I'm ready now to let go of that piece of who I am and say goodbye to Miss K and to my school. But I realized one thing that was really important too is I'm not leaving the community. I'm leaving my job, but those friendships that I have, the experiences that I had, all those things will come with me as I travel. So part of the good goodbye is not negating the experiences you had, the things you learned, the people you interacted with, but added to who you are that enable you to go forward. Like, there's things I learned there that I will never forget that will help me. There's relationships I had that were pivotal in moving me forward and that will continue to be part of my life, and other relationships that, because we don't work together, we won't see each other again. And I'll have to say that was a work relationship. And that was special for what it was, but it's not continuing on in this part of my life. So part of me deciding took 2 years, basically, for me to go through that and come to the conclusion. And then once I did, telling people was another step. Right. And then I think the other thing we need to realize is then you have to be able to deal with people's responses. And you have to show up in a way that can deal with their questioning, their whys, their fears, their hopes. And I think part of the good goodbye is showing up in a way that's like, I'm strong enough now to manage other people's reactions to my news. And I think that's what keeps a lot of us, too, from making changes.
Oh, yeah.
We can't navigate everyone else's. So I think what I told myself mentally is you get clear with yourself so that as you start to tell people, as you make those announcements, I mean, going into the classrooms, I cried. I mean, I just cried because I'm going to miss you so much. I cried in front of coworkers. I can even feel myself getting emotional now because it meant something. And just because you're saying goodbye doesn't mean you don't sit with those emotions. And I feel so blessed because I would rather have to go through the hard feelings of detaching and saying, right, have my emotions come up like they are now, than not. Because it meant something. It was important. And sometimes, again, when we're nervous about sitting with our emotions, or why are you sad if you want this? You know, like that kind of thing, holding two things. Like, you can be sad and still want it. Or you can be, I'm going to legitimately miss showing up as Miss Cage in that environment. And I'm ready for what's next. So the and is important. And also sitting with those emotions. I mean, the last few weeks of school, I cried almost every day. I said goodbye to different people and staff. I wrote notes to people. People called me. And I was like, this is going to be a couple weeks of this, and I'm in for it. Because you know what? I don't want to miss a minute of these rich emotions and of the chance to express myself. So that when I leave, like on the last day, I was there. What was so beautiful is I packed up by myself on the very last day. The parking lot was empty. And I just closed my door for the last time, and I said, thank you so much.
Wow.
For every person who's ever come into this space, shared with me, trusted me, opened up to me. Thank you for this space being what it was and for me being who I was. And let me let this go with love, so when the next person comes in, the new counselor comes in, she can start with love too. Right? Yeah. And I just thanked the office, and then I walked out of the school, and I said, thank you, school. Thank you for 18 years of making me who I am today. Thank you for the opportunities. So I just felt this overwhelming sense of gratitude and even sadness. And even now I feel emotional. But like, it was important to have that closure and then to be brave enough to get in my car and drive away.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I didn't realize you had gone through the whole process at this point. I guess when you make a decision, you've processed it and you're very clear. So, but those changes, and especially, you know, I learned a lot about this. There's this place now that's called the neutral zone. I can't remember the author who brought it up, but he did such a great job. He meant to talk about career transitions. Oh, of course, that's what you're doing. And he talked about now we're in this neutral zone, and he explained how we carry the energy. But you just described it beautifully. You know, there is a good goodbye. It doesn't mean you won't cry again.
Mm-hmm.
But now we just all got to witness this journey with you. It's really an honor to have done that, because what you're also doing is helping the thousands of people that are listening now. And I don't even know that you realize how many people right now need to learn this. There's so many levels of goodbye that are going on now. You know, goodbye to what you thought was going to be a job. Goodbye to the flexibility you had in working at home in COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if anybody works for Elon Musk, you know, the dude doesn't even get that not everybody really wants to come into work. Hello. You know, he has a mandate. Hey, everybody's got to come into work. Really? You think people are more productive by you having them drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to come into the office when they're, like, working 20 hours a week and you're only paying them for 10? But this is where you can help people. And, you know, as I was getting ready for the show, I realized it's not easy, but we have to do things that will bring in those things we really want. My realization was it is impossible for me to do what I want to do in support of all of you and the network and continue to do as many hours of live radio as I'm doing now. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this for 20 years.
Wow.
You've been doing it for 18.
Mm-hmm.
But I came to that decision. And I'm like, you know, it's not going to work. You know, I'm being called here. You're being called to help people in a bigger way. So you're a good goodbye. How did it fuel the energy that you're bringing forward to your new venture?
That is a beautiful question, because the energy exchange, in a way, like leaving something with love and being honest with myself, that if I felt like, okay, the idea of, well, just go back a little longer, or one more year, or just keep trying or change something, versus like, I'm ready for a change. I'm going to own it. And then owning it, making that decision, and the energy of like loving people, crying with people, hugging people, telling people, like owning that this was emotional, all this stuff. I think when I realized when I was driving away, instead of driving away from the school, I felt like, oh, I'm driving towards my future. Like, oh, I have this energy. And I felt almost a relief in having made the decision, even though it was difficult. Because just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not the right decision. Or just because it's emotional doesn't mean it's not the right decision. Life is messy and emotional, and we're humans. And that's, again, we're not robots. And so we have to take into consideration, that change affected me the way it will affect Carrie Knutson, not the way it will affect anyone else, right? So I have to be in my own space. But when I realized I wasn't really leaving something so much as going towards something, and that idea of, like, the good goodbye is taking the experiences and all the great things I learned, feeling like I physically and emotionally put closure on that so then I could let that go in order to fully grasp on to where I'm going. And even the energy of saying, I might not know how it's all going to work out. In fact, I don't. But I have the belief in myself that I've made things happen in the past. I probably can make things happen in the future. When I listen to myself, I think my best self knows the way. So I'm going to listen and know the way. So the trust, the energy, the love, like I feel like I'm being carried on so much love. Like everyone was like, good luck. We believe in you. We support you. We know you'll do great things. And that also is buoying me, because it's not going to be easy. Just because I made the choice, that was one hard decision. And then the next hard decision will be like, okay, now what are you going to make of your business? And then, and also your identity isn't wrapped up completely being a therapist anymore. What's that change going to be for you?
Oh, wow.
You know, and like, but I'm along for the ride. And that's, yeah, what I think the good goodbye is. It's the being along for the ride of your life, not negating it, not staying stuck in places where you're going to get stuck, looking for support, but also listening to that voice right here that knows everything. And then the idea of trust, not only in the future, the universe, but yourself, to make the right decisions to move you forward. And all that is part of the, I guess, the continuum. And I feel like it's a continuum or maybe a cycle, because you have to show up and do that again and again. But when you're making a big change and saying an actual big goodbye, like, this is a milestone in my life, because before May of 2022, 18 years in this K. Right? After May of 2022, Knutson speaks, Carrie, what's going to happen? Probably some amazing things. Don't totally know, but now more time and space to explore that. So there will be kind of a line in the sand, but in my emotional life, I'm still going to be processing that, using stuff that I learned here, carrying forward. And I think that's a part of the good goodbye too. What did I learn? What can I take that was valuable? Who am I now because of this experience? And then who am I becoming?
Yeah.
Where am I going? And there's a reason that voice bubbled up for you that says, I can't do shows like this anymore. And there was a thing that bubbled up to say, like, you've done this a good job for 18 years, and now you're ready with no apology for something else. Not because it's bad, just because you are changing. You need different things. So when that bubbles up, the future's, I feel like it's our future voice being like, good job. This is amazing. You're just calling out, and you listened. And the future's still going to be like, good choice, right? But it's the bubbling up, the listening to the future, and then getting there, right? And that is a process, but you have to be along for your own journey, and don't discount your feelings, your needs. Also, not being aware of yourself without criticism is so important. So if you can say to yourself, wow, I'm really getting stuck in process, or I'm really getting stuck in what other people think, or I'm really getting stuck in fear, then instead of judging yourself, you can say, okay, hey, these are coming up for me. How do I address them realistically and still hold out that the change I need to make, the goodbye I need to do, is for the best? How can I take action in a thoughtful, loving, conscious way to get me where I need to go? And how can I realize that a lot of feelings are going to come up that may look like, don't make that decision, this is a lot of emotion, versus I see you, feelings, emotions, other people's feelings, all the stuff. I know it might be difficult to manage this. How can I show up with strength, courage, thoughtfulness, and willingness to be in the emotion so that I can continue to make the change despite all of that? That's visual.
And this is what I said earlier, because you and I know we have a lot of support, right? You have support of your family. And, you know, I know I do too. And that support makes it easy. But there are a lot of people that need assistance and help just getting to making the decision. And see, that's what you're going to be able to do more now. You're going to be able to really step in and help people with the realm of emotional intelligence, but also emotional intelligence in action. You know, because it's one thing to be like all understanding about emotions, but if you can't get from A to B, that's not going to help, right?
Well, and also, what I also think is you can't help others at the expense of yourself for very long.
Exactly.
It's not a long-term proposition for me, particularly to work and be busy and do everything, and then feel like I can actually sustain that, which I can't, again, because I'm human. And so realizing my suffering, my tiredness, my exhaustion, my overwhelm, or my just being done with something, like those things don't serve those bigger picture. And so part of that is giving yourself permission to say, like, I'm giving myself permission to address, to say I deserve something different, or I'm ready for something different, or I simply want something, or I can not. For me in this decision, I cannot continue to work in the way I'm working and have the best outcome for me physically, emotionally, for my business or my counseling. Like, both sides don't get what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think making the decision, part of it is putting everything on the table. And you have to put yourself on the table, too. You have to put your real needs and desires, your abilities, without judgment. But to say, like, after 20 years, you're saying, how many shows can I do in a day? How many do I want to do in a day? How many feels good for me? How can I grow the network if I'm always on the line? Like, and also maybe parts of yourself that are ready to grow and explore and try are being weighted down by by your obligation. And so part of that is you can't be free to be who you are when you're obligated to do other things.
Well, I mean, and one of the things that you know, it's you and I are talking about, like, just doing like a thing. But here's what I want to say, and this is really where I want you to bring it home. We're talking about an end game decision. we really didn't talk, and we should talk about this on another show, is that all of the work that went into that old version of yourself, like all of the preparation that I do, right now I'm doing 11 hours of live TV radio a week, and I want to make sure we're bringing the best to the best for our listeners. And what you're also letting go of, mm-hmm. not taking this lightly, but all of the prep that you would do, your heart, your soul, your sweat that went into that previously to be of service mm-hmm. to those amazing youngsters, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all of that, and now you'll take that prep, that resilience, that energy, that perseverance. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to putting it in to helping all of the rest of us now step right. up and be who we were meant to be.
Exactly.
Hello.
Exactly. And that is part of the thing that carried me through to making the decision, right? And that's part of the excitement that I feel. Even though I feel trepidation, it's the excitement, it's the hope, it's the all of that energy that I have that I do feel like I'm not changing who I am and changing how I can reach people. And I feel like counselor is part of my identity. I will always.
Oh, yeah.
And I will yeah. always, and I'll just do it in a different way. But you're right. And my reach, I think, can be so much bigger because I'm allowing myself the space, the time, and the opportunity to do that. And I'm letting go of one thing so I can fully engage with another and bring all of the good things that I learned to this, but I'm also not staying stuck in it. And that's kind of part of me that's like, I made a decision, I followed through, it was emotional, and I'm ready.
Wow. Thank you so much, Carrie, because this is going to take us now to the next layer. Now that we've done it, right, how do we get big out loud?
Yes.
With our future and our decision for our future. This has to be part two that we do because we can't just hang out in the neutral state like that book that I referenced. We need to now get big out loud.
Yes.
We need to get big out loud.
This is perfect tie-in because this is what it's about. Once you make those decisions, there is an energy about, I've made it. I'm at the next place. I'm ready to get big out loud in a new way now because I went did the work of saying goodbye.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the Sound. Well, if you're on 520 westbound, just after Yarrow Point and Clyde Hill, it's heavy all the way through the University of Washington in downtown Seattle. 405 northbound out of those S-curves, it's smoothed out a little bit since this morning's rush, but still heavy around Park Drive up to the Kennedale Hill.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Former Attorney General Bill Barr says chasing election fraud claims wasn't easy.
There was an avalanche of all these allegations of fraud that built up over a number of days, and it was like playing whack-a-mole because something would come out one day, and then the next day it would be another issue.
During a public hearing, Barr said he repeatedly warned the White House that no evidence was emerging to support now former President Trump's claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Barr recalled eventually telling Trump that his claims of a stolen election were BS. Barr submitted his resignation after a heated meeting with Trump in the weeks after the election. Stocks are falling, but they're slightly off the lows of the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by more than 850 points at times during today's session before gaining some of that back. Investors are selling once again as they brace for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates this week. Eight Texans arrested for allegedly planning a riot at an Idaho Pride event over the weekend are all out on bond. Two of them are from the Dallas suburb of Watauga. They live right around the corner from a controversial Baptist church, which has a history of making anti-gay remarks. It was just last week that the pastor of Steadfast Baptist Church said gay men were predatory pedophiles who need to be put to death. It's unclear if the men are members of the church. Novelist Nancy Crampton Brophy is being sentenced to life in prison for killing her husband. Daniel Brophy was shot to death inside the Oregon Culinary Institute in 2018. Years before the shooting, Crampton Brophy wrote an essay titled How to Murder Your Husband. She was convicted of second-degree murder. The jury spent 2 days deliberating after nearly a six-week trial. Crampton Brophy will be eligible for parole after 25 years. She plans to appeal. Mick Jagger has COVID, and that's forcing the Rolling Stones to postpone a show in Amsterdam. The band tweeted Jagger was dealing with symptoms when he got to the stadium. The show that was set to take place tonight will be rescheduled, and tickets for tonight's show will be honored. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Dale Walmsley here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting the politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, The Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly showers on and off throughout the day today, cloudy skies, and we'll mix in some partly sunny skies as well. High temperatures around 61, 62 degrees. Tonight, clouds and rain will still hang around. Low temperatures back down to about 49. For Tuesday, clouds with a 40% chance of showers to start the day out, moving to partly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures around 63. Mostly cloudy skies for Tuesday night. Lows back down to about 50. Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies. A few sun breaks yet again. High temperatures a little warmer, around 67.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Oh, my goodness. Peggy's in the house. Peggy Wilms in the house. Yes. Why? Because we were just talking about something in the last show, if you heard us, Carrie and I, talk about it. And we were talking about what does it mean to have a great goodbye. And so what that's about is when you are in a transition period, when you're going from whatever you're doing, wherever you are, whatever that is, and it doesn't have to be big. It could be anything. And you go to something fresh, to something new, to something, you know, that's expansive. For me, there were days where I couldn't get off the couch. And expansive for me was putting the remote down. Like, just don't turn on the remote and taking an action, maybe getting up, walking out on the deck. But what if you could really wrap your mind around all things wellness? What if you could really look at what happens when you say yes to not just creating that amazing life, but you say yes to being of service for others? That's what Peggy is about, because many of you know her wellness, but she is a leader in the health and wellness field. You know, this is not just something that she said kind of casually. Oh, no, this has been a lifelong commitment. It's like Don Miguel says, you know, when you step up and you step in, and you understand the full nature of what you're called to do, then you cannot not do it. Her passion, her vision, everything I've known about her and been working with her for years, it doesn't matter. It always ends up to be, how can we be of more service? How can we build community? How can I, Peggy, help other people and then distribute that knowledge and transfer it to the world. Today, I'm so thrilled to talk with her about something that myself and others here have been involved with. But more importantly, what is the fourfold formula for all things wellness? And what does that mean when you sit down and you look at what these contributors have done to bring this message forward? Peggy, it's great to have you. Awesome to see you.
Hey, Dr. Pat. I tell you, I don't usually look really forward to Mondays, but when you're on my calendar, I was like, get up, girl. I'm so glad to be here. So glad to be here. Thank you for the intro, All Things Wellness. Do you remember, I was thinking about, please do not let me not talk about this. When you and I were together, so back in 2018, for those of you guys who don't know about Dr. Pat and my evolution together, I had a radio show called Coach Couch and Coffee years ago with TTR. And I evolved. You and I were talking, what? So we got together, and for pretty much a full year, you guys, Dr. Pat rebranded me. And even for anybody out there who's been in an industry that they love, like myself, and their passion, you think you know what you know and who you are and where you're going, but sometimes you don't sell yourself very well. And what you taught me was your past, there are stories back there, and we've got to talk about your resume of life and bring those forward and become part of those in order to move you forward. We worked for a full year in 2018, kind of rebranding, and I thought we were going to get together and pick some colors out and make a pretty website. And it was like a year of counseling. I mean, it was really tough. Like you said, just getting the remote control to get up off the couch some days was all I could do. But you and I, we were sitting there and I was looking at you, and that was back, you guys, she tape records you when she rebrands you and beats you. So there are tape recordings out there. But she looked at me and she said, Peggy, what are you? And I just was so frustrated at this point. I'm like, how dare she ask me who I am, people? And she said, no, who are you? And she kept pulling it and pulling it. And I said, I don't know. I do all things wellness. Like, I'm the all things wellness coach. Like, and she just kept saying, go, go. And I was done. She said, that's it. I said, what do you mean? She goes, that's the name of your business. You're the all things wellness coach, all things wellness. Your business, you know, your show is all things wellness. She goes, go get the .com. I'll talk to you later. And I think she just like shut me
up.
And here I am.
And, you know, but there is a reason for that, because, you know, first of all, two people don't get together unless two people are meant to get together for a greater good. And, you know, especially in the field that you and I are in, or especially the work that I do with people, is, you know, I love seeing a vision of what's possible. Now, here you are today. Took that, ran with it, and now you've up-leveled it, because, you know, rebranding is one part of it, but you're not just rebranding your business. You're rebranding your heart. You're rebranding your soul. You're creating an opening, an expansive nature of something, and you don't even know what it is. You're thinking like, oh, yeah, but, and then it takes on a life of its own. I mean, isn't that how we got to this place now, where you're not just bringing what you are and who you are forward, but you're creating a platform now for other people to contribute? And isn't that part of Fourfold Formula?
It is part of a Fourfold Formula. So what we did is, when we first got together in the All Things Wellness, I have an All Things Wellness wheel, and it has four quadrants. So it's heart, spirit, mind, and body. Yeah, and so we'll chat about that, you know, later in the show. But I want to just address the coming together. And I believe in people like you believed in me. I can see possibilities. I can hold their hand. I can sometimes hold them over the ledge and go, I know you're ready to fly. I know that. Let's just go. So I wanted to create this platform because I've always wanted to write books. And I remember you saying to me, I can tell you probably what I was wearing, and you said, what do you want to be? Where do you want to go? And I said, I want to write books. I want to get all this content out of here. I don't want to die with all this content in here. And she said, hey, tell me who you are. We're sitting next to each other in an airplane. And I'm like, I. So then she went. She pretended she was me. And I said I wanted a multi, I said I wanted a best-selling, no, I said I wanted to write a book. This is Dr. Pat. Hi, I'm Peggy. I want to write a multi-best-selling books internationally. And she just went off, and I was like, oh, my God. She's talking about me writing more than one book. So the fourfold formula is kind of a metaphor of bringing together the heart, spirit, mind, and body. It's a book that we are writing with seven media partners, and we brought together 40 writers, 30 contributing authors, seven media partners. James Redfield is writing the foreword, and then my co-author, Marcus Fetstein, who is an endocrinologist, and myself. So 40 of us writing true stories from our hearts that are either related to the quadrants of heart, spirit, mind, or body.
Yeah. And this is really why it's so exciting to be able to talk to you about this, because, you know, we were talking about this during the last show. You know, we're not really here to talk to you about the Great Resignation. That's for some people that don't actually understand what's going on in people's lives and why they're changing careers and why they're leaving. It is the Great Resurrection. This is the time where what's in your heart really is coming forward, needs to come forward. And people like Peggy are, you know, and what Peggy's doing is saying, yes, and I'm going to create this platform. I'm going to create this way for you to plug in. And then what we're going to do is we're going to create this, put the book together, and have it be so on point with what the world needs that this is an ongoing ripple effect to really address what might be underneath in your heart and in your soul. And that's part of all things wellness as well, about wellness. They're starting to rethink this because they know that the old version of pumping them dumbbells or doing them whatever you do, that is one aspect of it, but doesn't describe how to help people get through what these past 3 years have been about, is it?
No, and I remember, too, and we've had so many conversations in the past. You know what you mean to me, Dr. Pat. And
yes.
My frustration back in the day was that I said, I need this tool. I need a tool with my clients to assess where they are in their home, if they have children, if they have three jobs. I need a tool to assess where they are at any given time throughout the year, letting me know where are you with creativity and organization and your exercise and your spirituality and your coping skills. And we couldn't find anything. There were financial wheels and wellness wheels, or there was a well-being wheel. And so we had to just pull all this together, and it ended up being a wellness wheel with 24 different spokes. So that's why this isn't easy. It is a challenge to balance all of this stuff. And you are absolutely right. It is a resurrection, and I recognize this so much from my heart, you guys, in doing this project. When I dug deep into my heart and figured out why I really wanted to do this, community, relationships, and about people, true stories, so they could read them at home, fell into place. It wasn't even work.
Yeah. I love that, you know, because we're going to take a short break when we come back. This is what we're going to really talk about. And I just shared on the previous show that in order for me to do the next level of what I'm being called to do, there's some things I have to let go of. I mean, it is not going to be possible for me to hold on to everything, even if I love it, right? There is this next level. And now I'm starting to feel a responsibility to provide this to the people that listen and watch the show. But it's not a heavy responsibility. Mm-hmm. It is a joyful one. It is one that says, yeah, I'm willing to take this on. That's what, Peggy, that's what you've done. Before we go to break, can we give people a little bit of information so they know how to find out more about this?
Oh, Lord have mercy, yes. PeggyWilms.com. It's WILLMS.com.
When we come back, if you're thinking this, and I know you are, I mean, all you got to do is read some of the reports. You know, what does the report say? Anybody that visits a bar, just know that bar sales, open bars, are up 20% above pre-COVID. If you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, I don't even understand how that 30 pounds crept in. Oh, it's just like overnight. Okay. Pre-COVID, that too. If you're thinking, I don't have any emotional room for not one more thing, I am going to delete all my dating apps, that too. When we come back, Peggy's going to give us the why. You see, you're not crazy. As Susan would say, Susan Denae would say this, you got to know you're crazy. And part of knowing it is understanding you have done nothing wrong. It is challenging. When we come back, Peggy's going to take us on the journey of why that is and what you can do that may not be as challenging, that may be more simple, that may be just eat one slice of pizza. I can't even do that, so I'm not even going to use it. Benny, let's take eat one slice of pizza. Benny, let's take a short break. Jacob, we'll be right back.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Know your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all with Reiki Master and author Brett Bevel. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit brettbevel.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Hi, I'm Amber, your weekly host of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us and our global community of over 1 million strong on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. For more information, visit www.suivera.org. We look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Corny Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Corny.
I tell you, I love this. It's so great. You know, Peggy Wilms joining me here today. And look, you're going to hear about this. And Peggy, when can people expect the book? I didn't even tell them that. I know approximately an idea.
We're looking at probably, hopefully, the middle to end of July.
And I'm assuming there'll be others as well coming along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you've done is, in so many ways, you know, there are a lot of people that do things in this venue, and they follow, like, this blueprint. But this is different. Peggy actually created partnerships, collaborations. Each of us got to contribute a portion, a chapter, whatever you want to call it. But we each got to contribute. And, you know, the part of the contribution was to really look at the question of why. Why is, and you could say wellness, or you could say your own, put your own deal in. Why is blank so challenging? And, you know, it was interesting, Peggy, because I was telling you during the break, it took me a while to write it. Jessica's like, are you going to send her the chapter? Are you going to send her? You're waiting till the last. I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out which one to write about, right? And then something happened, and I decided to write the story of what I, who I consider one of my first mentors in the workplace. Now, I didn't write about the hot dog story. I would have gotten a different mentor. But my first corporate story where I was at a tipping point, and this really talks to the point of why is wellness so challenging. So I was at this tipping point, and I'm not going to give the story away because people have to read it, but I was at this point, and I'm 17, and I had already stormed down to HR, which I didn't even talk about Doris Stoner, and I said to her, I cannot work in this library. I'm like a level three. I just came out of the mailroom. I almost got fired in the mailroom, and I come out of the mailroom, and I stormed down to Doris Stoner, who didn't know why she hired me, and but hired me, and I said, I can't work in the library. Of course I can't work in a library. You can't talk in a library. I have to put books on a shelves in the Dewey Decimal System. What was anybody thinking? And she looked at me and said, I think I got the perfect job for you, payroll. You're going to be in a room with 50 people, and you're going to have to behave. And I said, anything but the library. And that's how I met my first mentor. I went from a level two, entry level, $60 a week, to a level three, out of the library after 2 weeks, payroll. And I was in payroll and worked my way up from a level three to the highest level of non-management and then got promoted to management. But why is wellness so challenging? Well, it's challenging for a lot of reasons, and that's what you're going to talk about. But for somebody like me, who is that crazy child at 17, it's challenging because of my big, fat ego. That was me. That and drugs and alcohol. But that's another show.
There you got that. That's part two. You know, before we talk about kind of the challenging stuff with health and wellness and well-being and all that fun stuff, the important thing with us for this book is, you know, the wellness wheel was a great framework for this because it left no story. You know, we couldn't leave any story out because it had a home anywhere. So when we said we want to write this book, I always wanted to write something with like a chicken soup of the soul type thing. And Marcus Vetstein and I have known each other for a long time. We said, let's bring together your patients and some of my clients, and this is what we'll do. And then we realized how restrictive that was, especially after COVID. I said, I want them to write true stories from their heart about whatever, which was a little bit challenging when we went out and we advertised for this book because they're like, well, what am I supposed to write about? I said, your life. Write about whatever you, well, what do you mean? Like, tell me what to write about. And I said, no, you figure it out. And then working and editing and peeling it back and putting it in the different chapters. But, you know, like you said, what really came out of this is people are deciding where they are in their health and wellness by the stories that they tell and where they're living right now. So if you just lost your job, that is where your story is right now. That's where your puncture is. That's where your pain point is. But we tend to take all of our focus right to that, and then everything else gets ignored and compounds. And unfortunately, we can't just push it away. We have to learn how to balance that. And that's the tough part about health and wellness is that you can't forget any one area of your life. It needs some sort of attention. So that balancing act, I think part of it, Dr. Pat, is that people don't realize how awesome they're doing already.
Right.
We're brought up in a society that just says you're doing such a bad job and you should be doing this better and you should eat this and this is how you should blah, blah, blah. But you're balancing work and you're balancing your kids and you're mowing the lawn and you're doing your laundry and you're cutting up the kale and you're getting dressed and you're showering and you paid, you know, you opened your mail. There's a lot of stuff we're doing well. Just looking at it all at the same time that it's tough.
you know, I love that we're talking about this, too, because the contributors, the people that you've brought together, you know, to share this message, to bring this forward, all of us have gone through the whole load of stuff. So you got us at a time, right?
Yeah.
Where we've just gone through stuff. And, you know, and some of us, from a business perspective, you know, we're still at it. And, you know, I'm making some decisions myself right now on how I want to approach providing information about the state of affairs for small businesses. You know, how am I going to get my senator's attention? How am I going to get the attention of folks to say, I love that you want to give everybody relief for student debt, but I'm saying right now, how about giving us relief for employee disaster loans, which are still charging us interest? So we have to figure those things out. And at the same time, address what you said about the challenges of wellness, but not at the expense of what we're passionate on our vision, right? Isn't that part of the dance, Peggy?
Well, and I, yes, and, you know, finding the connection in these stories, it, to me, that's what brought us closer together. It really did help define itself as I brought the people in and I got to know everybody. This was going to be, I set out to do one specific thing with this book, and it was not to fill it. It was not, I said that, I said I want 30 people, but it wasn't that I wanted the people, I wanted the stories. And when I got them, I wanted to peel them back and peel it because I wanted raw people in a community. And the reason that I say this is I watched through COVID everybody go home, and I watched my clients one-on-one sit at home with mental illness get worse and people's weight go up and their sleep apnea, everything got worse. And I thought, if they were at home watching one little interview or listening to reading a book like this, it could change lives. It could save lives. We could reduce, you know, somebody could connect with suicide. I mean, these stories, Dr. Pat, in this book, we've got immigration stories. We've got addiction stories. We've got divorce stories. We've got anorexic stories. I mean, I remember Dr. Marcus, who's my co-author, said to me, Peggy, what if we get all the same stories? I said, you won't. Well, he goes, what if they all end up like in the heart chapter? I mean, what are we going to do if they're all like relationship or self-care stories? I knew they wouldn't, because we are all so different. And, you know, you are one of our media partners. And you, I said, I want the 7 media partners to also write their own story, because I want people to relate to you. You're real people with real stories. And we need to see where, you know, you've learned your lessons of wellness and well-being, and so they get to read your story, too.
I got
to
tell you, you know, and I shared this during the break, is that we're going to talk about what all things wellness is in the wellness wheel. We're going to take one break, and then we're not going to take any for the rest of the show, because I want you to see, I want you to see what Peggy's talking about. Actually, Jacob, I think, can actually bring up the website page so you can see this wellness wheel. But one of the things that was really interesting for me is you caught me at a time where I was reflecting on mentorship and angels. And I actually was contemplating, you know, writing, you know, my own book proposal and what was I going to write about. Now I'm still on the fence with that, so don't even ask me. But what happened was I started to look at the people that I've gotten support with, just like you described the work, you and I have a list of people that without these people, Dan Vandermoss, Brian McGorry, Mary Louise Smith, I mean, I can go, Lionel Howard, I can go on and on and on about these people, right? Doris Stoner, who looked at me, I'm 17, I walk in like I'm just off the street because I was homeless, so I don't even know what I was wearing. Like when I went on the interview for what company? The phone company. This is the most dress up, wear the suit, and I walk in like I just came off the street from a homeless gig begging for money in New York, and I walk in and my hair is all teased, and I don't know what the makeup looked like. I almost didn't know about the interview because why? I'm not living at home. But here I am, and I walk in, and she looks at me and says, this is where this came from, this article, by the way. This is where it began.
Story. Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know what it is about you. I don't know what it is about you. You're out 48 days in your senior year. By no means do you fit in our Bell
standard for employment, not even in the mailroom. But I don't know what it is about you. I don't know what it is about you, but I'm going to hire you anyway. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I don't know what it is about filling your own blank, but are you willing to give them a chance? Are you willing to open up the door and understand how to take what Peggy has created and know that all things are wellness, even if your judgment about another person comes in? What are you willing to do for wellness? What are you willing to do for wellness? Not your own wellness, but like everybody. What are you willing to do for wellness? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, all things wellness. Peggy, you're going to find out more about it. What are you willing to do for wellness? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative on how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit WildMinistriesLLC.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh my gosh, you folks that are watching the KKNW stream. Okay, I didn't tell you the ending of that. I didn't tell you the ending of that series, but I was talking to Peggy about the fact I was asked to write like this little review. And the reason that that was important for me to share with Peggy is because, look, when you're in on all things wellness and you're really willing for wellness, then are you ready, willing, and able to not compromise?
Mm-hmm.
Are you at that place? But here's what Peggy's done that's so beautiful. It isn't just about the book and the contributors. It isn't about that. But what she's created in the All Things Wellness Wheel, and Jacob's going to show it to you on the TV version that you're watching, is that what if we could tap into helping people in all aspects of this? Peggy, now, what is the best way for people to find out about you, for them to stay plugged into what you're doing, order their copy of the book when that time is coming around? Mm-hmm. Tell us about all of that.
Probably Peggy@allthingswellness.com is my email. Again, my website is www.peggywelms.com. The /author is where all of my media partners and the book and everything is hanging out. That's where the book will be for sale. And we'll keep you posted across all my social media platforms, typical.
Good.
Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
Because there is something here for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that. You know, let's talk about the framework, because I love that you use a structure and an infrastructure mm-hmm. to say, look, there's a message that we need to bring out there. And the message has to do with how to make sure we don't leave something out. You know, if we take the wellness wheel and the fourfold formula of that, then what we're saying is maybe you don't care about maybe your body is in great shape, right? Maybe that's not it for you, but how about this other thing over here, right?
Right.
So can you talk about all things wellness wheel is about, but more importantly, how you use it, not just for this, but this is something you use in your entire coaching platform, right?
That's right. When we were going to name the book, which is the Fourfold Formula, and we made it kind of like a recipe, the reason we did that is that we all know that if you're missing one ingredient, like baking soda, that it's not going to come out and be the perfect cupcake. We know we need every ingredient to make the. And so when we wanted people to understand that all things wellness, whether it's the heart, spirit, mind, or body chapter part of the wheel, part of the book, those are the four chapters, you aren't going to be all well or all well-being if you don't have bits and pieces of all that formula to be balanced, to be healthy, to be, you know, have good relationships, decent jobs, be a good mom. And I do use it with my clients. And so the wellness wheel is actually also a worksheet. And it is a wheel that metaphorically, that's my word for the day, obviously. When you think about being on the wagon, in a wellness wagon, you're rolling towards goal. You're getting there. Things are going well. You're on the path. And then something happens. We hit a rock. We get a flat. There's a puncture. And we can either go totally off the, you know, off the rails, or we get slight flat and we can, you know, course correct and be back on. So what I do with the wheel is it is in 24 spokes, and my clients or the, you know, the class will take an actual pencil and go from the center of the hub, which is a 0, out towards the tread, which is a 10. Tell me where you are. Where are you with your coping skills? Do you think your emotions are a 3, or are you doing well and you've got a 10? How are you doing with organization? You still got laundry in the, you know, the dryer from 4 days ago? It might be a 3 right now. So they kind of look at all 24 areas. And so even things, Dr. Pat, like, you know, Jessica at TTR, she plays a lot of instruments. It is part of who she is, and she feels more connected when she plays her instruments. Well, if I have a client who hasn't touched their instruments for years, there's a piece of them missing. That affects everything. It's not just about doing squats and kale, eating kale like we always, you know, you and I always joke. So it is a balance. I do use the whole framework, and everything that I say and do is all about balancing it with that wheel.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of this that I want everybody to know about, it was really important. You know, we're talking about an upcoming book, but we're talking about much more. We're talking about a level of consciousness and thoughtfulness that really has done a scan of what's going on in the world, you know, what's going on out there, right? And, you know, that had to come into your being and consciousness, that information of what was going on out there, so that you could design something that would address mm-hmm. the solution part.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. And can you share any little tidbits about some of the stories?
Oh, I can't. I absolutely can't. If I back up about the relationship, the most proud I am about this whole entire project with these 40 people are the relationships that we have created. And when the stories were coming in, I honestly just thought, hey, I, you know, I loved English. I took 5 Englishes my freshman year of college. Love English, was always, you know, always been a writer. And I thought, I'm going to get these stories. I'm going to be editing and looking for some punctuation. Things are going to be great. But I didn't realize the emotion that was going to come in and the rewrites and then going back to the authors and circling around and pulling the, you know, using the adjectives and peeling back their onion and the literal emotion that I would feel in holding these stories. And I mean, gut-wrenching stories. So as I started to get closer to these people, I thought, I'm not keeping these people to myself. Like, I'm bringing these guys together. So I created a private Facebook site with all the authors in there. The media partners and the publishers aren't in there, but the authors are all in there. They got to introduce, they got to know each other. They know each other by name. They started blogging with me. We've had meetings, but we also did story teasers. So if you guys haven't seen any of those on my private, I mean, my public Facebook site, we have story teasers where some of the authors have read about 250 words of their story. You can see their face, can see them read their own bits and pieces of their story, can see us tear up. And so you will be able to see some of the individual stories. And we have authors all over the world, from Ghana, Germany, Montreal, Canada, Washington, Florida, England, all coming together. And guess what? We all are dealing with the same stuff, Dr. Pat. Same things. So it is a, to me, it's an all things wellness family.
Yeah.
And one of the most moving stories, you know, I hate to say I have any favorites. I don't have any favorites. Everybody's my favorite. But there are a lot of trauma stories, a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
There are a lot of stories where the authors weren't sure they wanted to share some of the stories because they've never gone public with them. I have one particular person in the book who called me and said, I can't do this. I thought I could do this. Thought I was ready. Can't do it. Crying. 2 days later, I said, sit in it. If you can't do it, pull out of the book, but I got you. I'll hold you. I got you. And come back, and she did it. And this week, I don't know, it was the end of last week, this particular author went to work. One of her coworkers saw the teaser on Facebook and sent her a text. And I begged this author to share it with the rest of us on this Facebook site. And the coworker pretty much said, I had no idea that happened to you. Just this, the most beautiful connection that they made, and they have worked together forever, and all because of this story. You know, when you think about connections, Dr. Pat, I don't know if you realize this, that eight of your radio hosts are in this book.
Yeah, I knew there were quite a few, and I'm really happy that they are, because, you know, I get to work with incredible people. And when you take a look at what their journey's like and what they've gone through and, you know, what they're bringing forward, you know, this is where you have to stand in your yes now. And you're right. I think for me, as I went through my own process of what do I really want to talk about? What's really on my mind?
Mm-hmm.
And what was on my mind was reflecting on, one, how as an organization and a network, all of us here are so positioned to be of service and mentorship for all the people we work with. And that is in service of a larger audience that tunes in and listens to the show. And so I was reflecting upon, and I think Linda and I debated this a little bit, you know, who is my first real mentor? But what was the hard, tough love part of that? Now, you can have a lot of mentors and you can do a lot of things, but what I'm struck by is how willing all of the contributors were to really address that aspect, tough love, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You know what I learned, too, is that it's all about making it safe. You know, just creating an atmosphere where, you know, Dr. Marcus and I said, there is no judgment. You can say anything to us and share whatever. And whether we agreed or didn't agree, there's some stories that maybe we didn't agree with some thoughts. And but we let it be an open playground where we said, bring it to us and let's see what it's like. So you're right. We opened up for them, and they also opened up to hear feedback from us, because there was some tough love pushback from me going, let's go deeper. Are you willing to go deeper? And I kept saying, you're going to change lives. You can't just sit there and think, if you don't get a thumbs up or you don't get an email, that you're not changing lives. Because in today's world, there's 75% of people out there, you won't ever know they're listening to you and you're changing lives until you stop. If you stopped your show, Dr. Pat, you would be shocked at how many people that listen to you and that you've changed their life if you stop.
Mm.
And then, last August, I decided to pull away from everything, my radio show, social media, everything. And I heard more compliments in 32 years of my career when I pulled away. The instant messages, the emails of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I listened to you for so long, and I'm sitting here going, what? That's the way I took this approach with this story, is think about the teenager at home who is also a cutter. We've got a cutter.
Exactly.
Think about the relationship at home where the woman has stayed 30 years when she maybe shouldn't have, and needs to kind of pack a bag. You are making a difference. Think about somebody from another country who's scared to death to put their feet on U.S. soil, and they need to maybe try. We have stories like that. We have mean parent stories, but we have beautiful parent stories crossing over. But it will change lives just by listening. And the thing is, it's very chicken soup, right? So you know how today we're so busy. I could read a chapter and I have to start over the next night.
Yeah.
Because I can't freaking, I'm just so tired. I say, page nine. But with this, they can read like your story, because the stories are 2,000 words. I can put the book down and come back to another one. It's like, kind of like, I'm not saying it's the living Bible, but it reminds me of a year from now, they could pick up your story, Dr. Pat, or my story, and it might not resonate right now.
Yeah.
But then next year they go.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it, because it really does talk to the solution part of all things wellness. You know, even though the stories take people on a journey, you know, when you read them and you step back, there's a lesson in every one of them. And there's a nugget, even gut-wrenching ones, and I tossed up whether or not I wanted to share, you know, my younger days, which were really pretty dark.
Right.
And, you know, everything from abuse and being beaten in Catholic boarding school. I mean, really strange things. But that wasn't on my radar. That's what, see, I love about this, because everybody got to show up in their present moment to reflect a part of their journey from the past to help move on in the future. And that's what I love about this. That's really critical in all things you do, isn't it, though? That's really your mojo.
It is my mojo. I think as a coach, I would love it if physicians and counselors and teachers and everybody who is a mentor or somebody we hire would accept us as not being judgmental. I think we say that, but truthfully make it a safe place. That's what I always want to do as a coach, is to be able to say, show up, bring me your messy, show up, and let's see what you got today to deal with. Because tomorrow could be different. Tomorrow could be a fantastic day. But that's the reason the wellness wheel is like it is that we often think we know our pain points. So you think going to the gym 5 days a week, you haven't been for 5 days, you go for three, you think that's your pain point? You haven't talked to your husband in 3 weeks. That's like your pain point. But we can go around the wheel and go around that whole framework. And if one pillar is kind of falling, like at home, then we can kind of circle back. And that was the same thing with a book. It's really ironic, Dr. Pat, because I took the stories and I just kept plunking them in. And I'm like, well, you know, that one's about this one. Oh, look, that one's about coping skills. That's up there. And then it filled up. I didn't have to go put 8 here, put 10 here. It just went.
Wow. But, you know, Peggy, let's talk to that for a minute.
Sure.
Because, you know, part of the journey is understanding that sometimes, whatever you want to call it, God, universe, you know, higher power, whatever that is, you know, sometimes it will step in and do things for us which we cannot do for ourselves. Almost every part of story I thought about telling, there was that element to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's powerful because it helps us get past a hump. It helps us overcome an obstacle. It helps us pull ourselves out of a pothole. And that's what you shared earlier. You know, you talked about your evolution / revolution to bring you to realize the dream that you had 4 or 5 years ago, and it's now coming to be. But also part of this, Peggy, if you would talk about it, is we don't get here without a few bumps or bruises. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. I play this sport that I love, right? And I must have gotten hit. I don't even want to show the listeners, but I must have got hit with the ball. Now, I play a sport. You're thinking like a ping pong ball. How is that even going to cause a bruise? Okay. But sometimes the ball comes at 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, some of them less. But and I didn't even realize it because I'm in my mojo. I'm in my zone, my happy place, happy feet. And you don't realize until you get home and you shower and you look and say, oh, I got to be wearing long sleeves on air this week, right? But sometimes you do feel the bruise,
right?
You do feel the hit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in a happy place to begin with, you feel it more, and then you feel the next one more, and then you feel the next one more. And I think, isn't this part of the journey to understand, as your right. journey talks to, you can get to where you want to go, but you better learn how to get through the bumps and the hump.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you got to keep wiping the blood off the bloody knuckles. You just have to keep going. Until this year, I have to say, you know, my mother, rest in peace, could never really understand why I kept being as diverse and pivoting like I did. She's like, oh, here she goes again. Here she goes again. But I knew that this lane, this industry was my baby. And it didn't matter whether I had a radio show or a website I had to work on or write a book or go over here and coach virtually or wellness retreat. It didn't matter. And you guys, if you know where you need to be, I am telling you right now, stay there. Because in this moment in the last 6 months, Dr. Pat, I sat here and I went, oh my God, this is why I went through this the last 5 years. Like, I can see why I stayed up all night doing my website, and I can see over here why I'm living where I am and why I stayed up crying over here and why I wouldn't have been ready. Yeah. I wouldn't have been ready for this because it seems so organized, and I'm sleeping and I'm eating. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, because I'm ready now.
Right. Wow.
I wasn't ready.
That's it. I mean, you know, and I think this is an interesting time, Peggy, because, you know, I just talked with Carrie about it, Carrie Knutson, who made a major decision to change from, you know, what she was doing in a regular career and then bring back her own platform. But, you know, I'm doing the same thing. The tools that we learn, and the only way that I know how to say this is if anybody is struggling with anything on that wellness wheel, you know that you can reach out to Peggy.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't matter what it is. Because there may be things that are hard in life, but suffering is really optional. You know, there are things that are hard. There are things
right.
that may be tough.
And excuses.
There may be a big bruise mm-hmm. on your arm from a sport you love. But suffering is going right. to be optional. And isn't that really underneath now, to bring this all home, your passion, your purpose, and your mission?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's no excuses because we all have stuff. And next week you're going to have other stuff. We have to be emotionally resilient now more than ever. And we're not in it by ourselves. Keep no story to yourself. Stand up and scream and find your partner, find your tribe. And run your mouth and find a connection because we are all so similar. It's comical. It's comical.
Well, look, thank you. Can we talk a little bit in a couple minutes we have left? Make sure everybody knows your website. But, you know, what's the next step for you? What's on your radar for next?
And I tell you, it's just like you said when we first started, you got to clean stuff up, even if you love it, in order to level up, so to speak. And it doesn't mean moving into another mansion, because it has to be in a mansion to move into a mansion. But I'm not going to be coaching virtually anymore. I'm keeping my few peeps, but I'm moving into writing and radio shows. And so pretty much I'm writing, and I want to write a compilation book for children. That I'm going to do compilation stories from children based on all things wellness. I'm going to write a book 2 with Dr. Vetsine and a book 3 based on the same kind of format as we did with this one. Yeah. And I'm writing The Adventures of Wellness Island, which is about 15 books, children's books brought together with The Adventures of Wellness Island. So a lot of writing and a lot of talking.
Yeah. Well, honestly, what it is a lot of showing up.
Or showing up.
A lot of showing up.
That's right.
So when you say yes to the showing up thing, that's the thing. That showing up thing is really important.
Yes.
You know, it's like any athlete. It's great to take all the tutorials and, you know, but you got to show up for that first race.
Mm-hmm.
You got to really get that first race. Peggy, thank you so much. Again, let's have your website. And I'd love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with today.
My website is peggywilms.com, www.peggywilms.com. My message today is you can do anything. And know that's just so blanket, but you can. And what I mean by that is you can maybe just take a shower today. You know, go out in the sun and let it beat on your face. Write a story, but you can do anything today.
So I just got a text message from one of our listeners. They want me to post the ping pong bruise on my arm. You know what? I might inscribe something and then do it. I love our listeners. Thank you.
Show me the pain.
It's so great. Yeah, show me what you're willing to sacrifice for a little white ball. Peggy, thank you so much.
Yes.
Look forward. We will make sure everybody stays in tune with the schedule, the book, and all of the above. Thank you so much for doing everything that you do.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. You've been a huge mentor, and, you know, thank you for pushing me off the ledge. And thank you for still holding me because I'm dangling something.
Yeah, but now we have something new, willingness for wellness. I love that. Benny, thank you so much for everything.
Benny.
Jacob, thank you. And for all of you out there, you're the best audience on the planet. And Peggy said it. You know, even though we may go through some of these changes, you will always be able to find us. You'll always be able to connect with us because we are committed to all things wellness for all of you. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Bye. We'll be right back.